Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is Optimal Living Daily, episode 3164, How to Make Life More Pleasurable, by David Kane of raptitude.com. And I'm your narrator, Justin Mollick, reading you blogs every single day of the year, including holidays, to give you and me a bit more motivation, inspiration, or happiness today. So with that, let's get right to it as we optimize your life. How to Make Life More Pleasurable, by David Kane of raptitude.com. Throughout my grade school years, I noticed a pattern. Whenever classes started again, sleep became much more enjoyable. It felt like such a gift to discover by peeking at my alarm clock that I had another 18 sweet minutes of blanket time before the alarm went. Each one was a treat. Obviously, sleep became more pleasurable because it became more precious. I was busier and couldn't overindulge in it as I apparently had during summer holidays. I also noticed that whenever the English teacher assigned a novel about people living during scarce times like wars or droughts, my own food tasted better, and I found real satisfaction in simple things like potatoes or rice. History class gave me a similar appreciation for tea and spices after hearing about how precious and coveted they were in the West. When you have a little more reverence for the experience itself, a pinch of tea or a few ground peppercorns can make you feel rich and fortunate, even if they came from a bin at Bulk Barn. And why shouldn't they? They still deliver the same pleasure to human taste buds. This effect was always so fascinating to me, how the pleasure we derive from something expands and contracts with its context in our minds. When we're able to view something as an occasional luxury, we get more out of it than when we view it as cheap and abundant, regardless of whether it really is cheap and abundant. Recently, I stopped drinking coffee daily, and now when I do have a cup, I enjoy it much more. It's just as available to me as it always was, but when it's not a ubiquitous part of my experience, the pleasure of it is much greater. This pattern has happened elsewhere too. A year or two ago, I went through a phase when I always had wine in the house. Now it's back to special occasion status, and it's much more enjoyable. Sweets and desserts too. The more occasional they become, the better they taste and the less I crave them. It's made me realize that there's something to be gained in deliberately limiting our pleasures, not for any moral purpose or to conserve money, health, or the environment, but simply because making our pleasures more occasional makes them more pleasurable. For example, we'd probably derive more pleasure from eating if most of our meals weren't delicious. When the typical meal is delicious, a basic eaten-for-sustenance meal becomes an annoyance, and few meals are special. When most meals are basic, the pleasure of simply eating has a chance to come through, and delicious meals, ones with prominent salt, fat, or sugar, become pleasurable in a way they can't be when they're the norm. I know I enjoyed movies and music more when there was no unlimited, always-on streaming service piping them into my home, when you had to wait for your favorite song to come on the radio again, or physically travel to a store and buy the album. That song delivered greater pleasure than it does today coming through Spotify at your command. When you had to wander the carpeted aisles of Blockbuster Video to select which little box of entertainment would define your night, you valued it more and got more out of it. When pleasures are more occasional, they're more pleasurable, and that's reason enough to limit how often we indulge in them. Of course, all the usual reasons we exercise restraint to save money, time, health, and the planet only add to the rewards. That's been my experience anyway. But I don't think I'm an exception. Along with most people listening to this, I live in what is probably, as seen from the outside, a very strange bubble of human existence, post-World War II Western consumer society. In this strange bubble, enormous marketing departments have had many decades to figure out how to deliver as large a volume of pleasure-inducing substances and services into our homes and routines as we will accept. This relentless pressure to take on treat upon treat year upon year has pushed the typical level of pleasure consumption to a point far beyond what is actually most pleasurable for most of us. Time travelers from cultures unlike ours would be baffled by our obsessive and self-defeating relationship to pleasure products. They might find it absurd that millions of us claim we just aren't ourselves without a morning cup of hot extract from the roasted seeds of an exotic East African berry, or that sugar, which used to cost a fortune per pound, is so abundant in the food supply that it's difficult to keep dangerous amounts of it from entering our bodies. For those of us who were born in this strangely pleasure-focused bubble, it's hard to move away from familiar pleasures without believing it will be some kind of sacrifice. I'll be healthier, wealthier, and will live longer, but life will be less good. But so far, whenever I do move that way, the opposite happens. The more occasionally I indulge in something made just for pleasure, the more worthwhile it is when I do, and the better life is in every other respect. It's cheaper, safer, healthier, freer. It just seems like a better deal, and it's there if we want it. You just listened to the post titled, How to Make Life More Pleasurable by David Kane of Raptitude.com. And I'll be right back with my commentary. Thank you to David. He talked about how when we always have things on demand, like our favorite songs or movies or shows, as opposed to having to go down to your local Blockbuster video to rent it, it sort of adds a layer of appreciation. By the way, fun fact, my first job was at Blockbuster Video, where I happened to walk into an armed robbery in progress, another story for another day. Anyway, he also made that argument about food. If we're always having the best, it ends up becoming your normal, which brings the quote-unquote best down to like a 5 out of 10 instead of an 8 or 9 or 10 out of 10. He says that if we had just okay food most of the time, then we'd really appreciate those really tasty meals. And it's hard to argue with that, especially if you've moved a lot or changed environments or jobs or have a lot of life experience in different ways. What inevitably happens to everyone I've known is that their life becomes normalized, no matter the situation. And then to get to that next level of special, something new has to come along again. Now, that isn't to say that we should then make our lives miserable in an effort to make the rare occasions extra happy. That doesn't really make sense. But this idea applies to things like new cars. Knowing this phenomenon, does it make sense to work so many hours to buy that ultra-luxury car if it's just going to end up being normalized? Maybe a different solution is to keep your car, and then once a month, rent an ultra-luxury car so you get the thrill and excitement of having the new car for a bit, and only for a little time so it never becomes normalized. I don't know, it's just an idea. That's just one example. I'm sure there are many more. And if you have any, do send them my way. I'd love to hear them. And I can even share them in my newsletter, which you can join for free, by the way, at oldpodcast.com. But that should do it for today. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you back here for the Wednesday show tomorrow, where your optimal life awaits.